This is an interview with Robert Hammett for the Youngstown State University Canfield Fair Project by Carrie Stanton at 7376 Yellow Creek Drive, Poland, Ohio, on April 22, 1983 at 1:15 p.m. Mr. Hammett is a member of the Canfield Fair Board. Mr. Hammett, can you first tell me a little bit about your background, where you were born, your parents, early years?
All right. I was born 1916 in Fontana, California. My parents had originally come from Mansfield, Ohio, but had moved to California. I'd gone to most of my elementary school in California. But in the late 1920s, we moved back to the home farm near Mansfield, Ohio. And there I graduated from high school in 1933, Township High School. And that pretty much is the up to the high school. I've been in a rural high school, a small rural high school, Weller Township.
Who were your parents?
My parents were Nell Stevenson Hammett, and my father was Gail Hammett. Both of them had originated in the Mansfield area. They were native. The farm we lived on and still have was in my mother's family. That was a grant to one of her ancestors as a result of his separation from the service in 1816. So
really?
Our family farm goes back in that area for quite a while.
Was it because of fighting in the War of 1812?
And he was from a unit from Beaver County, Pennsylvania. And this quarter section of land was granted as his separation award or service, and they moved out there and took over the farm in 1816.
Really? Marvelous. Were you a child during the Depression?
Well, I graduated high school in 1933, so...
Yeah. So do you remember anything about it?
Considerable, yes.
Do you?
In fact, the beginning of the Depression, they were living in California. Trying times, everybody was trying to make ends meet and so on. When I graduated, of course, some of the early government programs were just coming in, relief programs. In fact, that's probably how I became interested in going on to for further agricultural training. Had been in 4-H club work for several years, and the county agent had a competitive test, and we selected.
In California?
No, this is Ohio.
Oh.
This was Ohio. And the start of the agricultural program was sponsored through the, or authorized through the county agent's office in Richland County. And I became well acquainted with the county agent at that time and worked in that office in some of the original government programs, relief programs, agricultural adjustment programs. And he's the guy that nudged me to go on to college. Which I started Ohio State in 1935. I'd out of high school for 2 years. And studied in the College of Agriculture. Graduated in 1940. And had the good fortune of this same person of being at the university. And I worked in the office, same department that he was associated with, and this helped pay my way through college.
Really?
In addition to having a meal job, waiting table, mm-hmm. washing dishes, and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it took me a little longer to make mm-hmm. normal college term mm-hmm. that was all paid for when I finished was all mine, which was kind of a satisfaction as you look back over.
Mm-hmm. What was your degree? What would your degree have been?
A Bachelor of Science in Agriculture. Uh-huh. I had a dual major in vocational agriculture, and what they offered in agricultural extension at that time, county agent work, finances and opportunities being what they were when I graduated, I started a new department of vocational agriculture in high school in Ashland County, and taught almost 4 years until I went into service in the Navy. And peculiarly enough, was on the Ashland County Fair Board for two of those 4 years because I'd been associated with fairs and club work, and of course in the vocational agriculture had direct connections with the Ashland County Fair,
mm-hmm.
and when they had an opening in conduct of the livestock, Junior Fair Livestock Program, I had the good fortune of serving on that
mm-hmm.
Board.
Mm-hmm.
Then went in the Navy and during the war,
mm-hmm.
so that everything kind of come to a mm-hmm. change of position.
Yeah. What area did you serve in?
I was in the Navy, served in the Southwest Pacific, was in New Guinea and the Philippines. I had enough time in that I was due for rotation, so I didn't get to go to Japan, or China or Japan. And, I came home then at the conclusion of the war from the Philippines. I was in two places in Philippines. I was in Leyte for a period of time with was attached at that point with the Army headquarters, GHQ headquarters, doing communications work, joint communication work between the Army and the Navy. Had the privilege of seeing and on one occasion meeting General MacArthur. I was right in his GHQ setup.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved to Manila, and that's where I came home from Manila,
mm-hmm.
early in 1946.
You married to Mrs. Hammett before?
Yes, we were married in 1941, right after I graduated from college and got established mm-hmm. as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. And Freddie must have been born around then, too.
Yeah.
Where did you work before you retired? Standard Flag?
No. Edit that.
Okay.
I worked, when I come out of the service, I met, I went into the county agent's office and, just to renew acquaintances, and one of the fellows that had been in the department, Rural Economics Department at Ohio State, was there on a special project, and I had worked in that particular department, and he insisted that if I was interested in extension work, to get down to Columbus as soon as possible. And he opened the doors and made an appointment for me, and so I went to work. That's when I started agricultural extension work for the university, for Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and was assigned to Mahoning County in the spring of 1946. Came here as what they called at that time an assistant county agent, and I worked in that line, in the extension office, for 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and they were changing the agricultural emphasis at Carbon Limestone, and a fellow by the name of Phil Heim hired me to work in the head up their agricultural effort, department or whatever, at Carbon in 1952. Phil Heim later was on the Canfield Fair Board, made several valuable contributions. He was instrumental in getting the street signs, getting the fairground plotted, and naming the streets and numbering and set up like that. He was the head, in addition to that, he was kind of an advertising public relations man and set up a lot of the news stories and events, special events. He could have been the one that started Pennsylvania Day, because I know he was instrumental early in the Pennsylvania Day program of having the Secretary of Agriculture from Pennsylvania and the Director of Agriculture from Ohio to the fairgrounds for a dedication ceremony. And the Pennsylvania Secretary of Agriculture brought a Pennsylvania flag, and I don't know whether it's the same flag, but we still fly the Pennsylvania flag on Pennsylvania Day, which has traditionally come to be Saturday now. This is a little sidelight on, but anyhow, in 1952 I started working for Carbon. And of course, as an extension agent, I've been very closely interested in working with the fair. My first year here, 1946, was the 100th anniversary of the Canfield Fair. It was a 10-day fair at that time. It's the longest fair I ever attended, and I think the longest fair a lot of natives had ever attended. But it was good experience, and we profited from it. But the junior fair program and that has always been a good part of any county fair, and I think Mahoning County has been particularly strong in their support of junior fair, all youth work. It's kind of a privilege for me to see several of the present fair board members of the Mahoning County Agriculture Society that were good junior fair members back when I first came into the county. They have taken their challenge and have become real good fair board members. I'm proud to name some of them.
This is your job on the fair board, is the junior fair?
No. Huh? No, when I first came on the fair board in 1959, that was true. But as openings were made by moving or natural retirement or whatever, I became interested in the draft horse and pony show and was assigned that. And Hugh Stacy came on the fair board, and
from Poland?
Yes. And he was, of course, had been involved with junior fair. He'd been a club member and was a good farm person, active in the extension program. His wife was active in the rural program through the Farm Bureau, and Hugh had taken over the junior fair, and I had the horse, draft horses, and pony show, and then work at Carbon became changed, and I felt like I was getting a little pushed for doing everything, and so I had about a 5-year honorary position with the fair, and 4 years ago came back on the active on the fair board rather than honorary, and now have the steam engine show and antique engines and the pig iron derby. Pig Iron Derby had been handled by Eldon Groves, and the steam engine show was started and handled by Homer Schaefer. But Homer has lots of ambition and keeps starting new projects, and so he kind of broke me in for a couple of years to find out and get to know the people in the steam engine, mm-hmm. antique and small engines, thrashing show.
There seems to be a big interest in it. We always see tons of people there.
Well, that has grown, and it's part of the thing of the history of, well, our way of life, really.
Mm-hmm.
From the more hand-operated equipment, older equipment, we even plant wheat and cut it by an old binder, mm-hmm. and shock it. Loaded on wagons and
at the fair, you do?
Well, it's cut and shocked and loaded on wagons in July. There's mm-hmm. a group of volunteers that come in, young and old, and they do this, and then at the fair is when it's threshed,
mm-hmm.
And again volunteers come in and do this. On a regular schedule, it's not a continuous thing. I think they work about 20-30 minutes and then thrash some wheat, and then they go through and bale the straw and clean the wheat and handle it. Then they move on to the sawmill and the shingle cutting machine. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a rotating action, but there's about six acres of wheat involved that we plant each fall, and then thresh the grain at the fair, so that there is thrashing going on each day of the fair. There's about a wagon or so a day that is threshed and the grain cleaned and
mm-hmm.
handled.
How old are some of those machines there, do you know?
Well, some of them go back into the early 1900s.
Yeah.
The thrashing machine, I have to get out some of my numbers, but I think the thrashing machine is an Altman Taylor that was built at Mansfield, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and I believe the date on that particular machine is 1915.
Mm-hmm.
There's some old steel.
Still in good working order.
Well, these fellows mm-hmm. restore them and make parts,
mm-hmm.
yes,
mm-hmm.
that are in excellent shape.
Mm-hmm.
There's some older tractors than that, and then there's some that are discontinued model of tractors. This past year we had close to 30 old tractors that hobbyists and some farmers have
mm-hmm.
taken the tractor and restored it mechanically,
mm-hmm.
painted it, got the original decals, colors, and then there's a shingle machine. I'm not sure the date of that. There's some steam engines that go back into the early 1900s as far as origin. The sawmill, I don't think the sawmill is that old, but to see an operating sawmill run by a steam engine is unique. It's
mm-hmm.
interesting. A side light on the sawmill is that we have worked out a real good relationship with Mill Creek Park. They get windfalls, trees that blow down, or they may have to cut. And so they've been providing most of the raw lumber for
mm-hmm.
our sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done this for 3 years now, and they have a planing mill, they have a carpenter shop, and they've used a lot of this rough lumber, finish it themselves for repair and for new buildings,
mm-hmm.
tables and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. I've been real pleased. Of course, I've known Chuck Wedekin for many years through the park, and then got to know Bill Scholar, the present
mm-hmm.
superintendent, and of course, Bill is a forester by training, and he loves this thing, plus the good lumber they get.
Yeah.
I was amused when he first came out there. He was a little hesitant about this rough sawed lumber, and brought some good logs. And after the sawyer had finished, Glenn Fullerton, is the fellow that has this sawmill, after he finished and Bill had taken the lumber back to the park, he remarked to me, he said, you know, he said, that fellow's saw is pretty doggone good repair. He said, I was a little suspicious. I might have a board that would be an inch and a half on one end and half an inch on the other, but he said, they're all true. And he said, I'm real pleased with this program. And he said, if we can, we'd like to make some kind of a arrangement so we can continue. And I'm real pleased because I think Mill Creek is one of our super attractions. Mm-hmm. All fine people associated with it. And if they can make use of this lumber, it saves them some money, and it's making good use of their own product. Mm-hmm. And gives us a real fine feed for our show at the fair. And the sawyer likes it because they're good clean trees, and he's not likely to run into a nail or a spike or something as if you would cut down a tree along a line fence and he'd dull his saw, and that would be a day wasted in trying to resharpen his saw.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of jumped up to modern times. The junior fair, of course, is one of the, I suppose, maybe a first love of mine because of my background and so on, but Mahoning County Fair, at Canfield Fair, has been extremely strong in their support, money-wise, facilities, and so on like that, so that the several buildings that house the Junior Fair exhibits are probably the finest of any you find in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Having traveled to other fairs and come here from another area, I can say this because this was evident back in 1946 when we first came here, and they have not changed their philosophy as far as doing things for the junior fair. And I include the educational exhibits, some of the other places where youth are fostered and rewarded. Boy Scouts have had an encampment there for years. Girl Scouts, Campfire Girls.
That would be all included in the junior fair?
These are all part of the junior fair, in also including the 4-H club work, the vocational, the FFA, vocational agriculture, the homemakers through the various high school departments that have vocational home economics, the juvenile granges, and the Farm Bureau Youth Council, and so on like that, so that they have afforded a place for all of these groups to show their wares, show their talents, and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the facilities, but they've given monies in the forms of trips, tours, so on, so that they are very solidly behind youth programs. Building-wise, all you have to do is go around over the fairgrounds and see all of the groups and all of the things that have been added. Total acreage, I suspect in the state of Ohio, maybe beyond the state limits, acreage-wise, Canfield Fair probably is as large a real estate holder of that particular kind, fair-wise, fair ground as anybody you want to find. We have about 350 some acres total. some of the earlier Fair Board members were wise and prudent, and land was available adjacent mm-hmm. to the original fairgrounds, they purchased it. Seeing the potential growth and need for space, elbow room, if you want. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we can now enjoy those earlier decisions.
Mm-hmm. I think isn't the grandstand built by the WPA?
Yes, that was part of the relief project in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Tell me what would be a typical day for you during the fair. I mean, you just probably just pulling your hair out.
No, it falls into a routine. Each department will have one, two, or three key workers.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by department?
Well, see, there's 17 directors,
mm-hmm.
and each director is involved with a specific department
mm-hmm.
or an activity
mm-hmm.
or an event.
Mm-hmm.
Presently, I'm involved with the Pig Iron Derby, which mm-hmm. is a horse pulling
mm-hmm.
Contest. Named Pig Iron Derby because mm-hmm. the original pulling contest started many years ago, used pig iron, a local mm-hmm. product, as weight rather than stones or whatever,
mm-hmm.
pulling logs
mm-hmm.
like they did with horses. They would throw more pig iron on. Well, that's mm-hmm. one, and then the steam engine
mm-hmm.
show. All right.
The pig iron. Is there still a lot of interest in that?
Oh, very much.
People?
Yes. Unfortunately, I think it happens in the mornings
mm-hmm.
because that's about the time slot that they were able to work it in, and
mm-hmm.
it's been a morning event
mm-hmm.
Ever since I can remember. It's held in front of the grandstand. On Friday, we have the draft horse ponies pull. And on Saturday, the local draft horse, these are regular horses, have their pull. And they have to be from Mahoning County, an adjoining county, or member of the Northeast Ohio Pulling Association, Horse Pullers Association. Then on Monday morning, they have the open contest, and anybody from any place is eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I mention key people for the Pig Iron Derby, I've had four persons that helped me. We have three men that are acquainted with this program. In
mm-hmm.
fact, two of them were former pullers. One of them had a pulling team, and the other fellow had been associated with horses. More, and the third fellow, more or less, and the fellow that acted as an announcer
mm-hmm.
Had been a horseman for many years, associated with horses and ponies.
Mm-hmm.
And these are what I mean by key people, mm-hmm. and they help.
Mm-hmm. All volunteers?
No, they are paid.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They are paid. And for the steam engine show, we had a husband and wife that had been with that for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the value of the equipment, and even with our own security, we felt better to have somebody right there on the grounds
mm-hmm.
at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So they
you
were...
keep the equipment there?
Well, no, just to watch it. But we do, oh yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the owners have their campers, and they
mm-hmm.
stay right there,
mm-hmm.
too. But we have our own people that are right on the spot in security, and plus if anybody gets into a problem,
mm-hmm.
somebody there. And they are paid,
mm-hmm.
a modest amount, but they are paid people. As well as the other departments have night people and day people that are working.
Mm-hmm.
So that we take the Pig Iron Derby first. At 7:30 in the morning, at least two of us myself and one or two of the other mm-hmm. helpers will be at the scales. Mm-hmm. And the ponies are divided into two weight classes. And if they're close, they have to go over the scales. If they say they're in the light class, they have to go over the scales, and we take a weight of them mm-hmm. that morning. Mm-hmm. If they come in and say and register and enter, and they say they're in the heavy class, well, we believe them. The only way we weigh them is if they're curious to see actually how much they do weigh. Mm-hmm. And then at 9 o'clock, we start the contest. And this is in front of the grandstand. And they pull a flatboat-type sled filled with pig iron. And as they all complete a minimum distance, then there's more weight added. And mm-hmm. we keep adding weight until mm-hmm. the strongest puller at that particular day and time exceeds everybody else.
Do you ever have a pony just drop over?
No. No, they have stumbled. This is what they're built
yeah.
for. Horses, they're built for pulling heavy mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, in fact, a lot of them, are working teams. A lot of them use these horses for pulling logs in the mm-hmm. woods and stuff mm-hmm. like that. They're much more adept and mm-hmm. Able to get around under more conditions than a tractor, for instance.
Mm-hmm. They do that around here?
Oh, yes. Oh. Yeah. In fact, and then, of course, there are associations of pullers, and there mm-hmm. are pulling events
mm-hmm.
Going on all the time. In fact, I had a card from our local association. They were having a pull at the recent Maple Festival up at
mm-hmm.
Chardon,
mm-hmm.
which, again, reflects the interest in the old way of
yeah.
doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Chardon, there's a lot of horses up there with
yeah.
the Dutch and Amish
yeah.
farmers,
yeah.
and they probably participate if there is an open class. They're probably not a member of the association,
mm-hmm.
but would participate
mm-hmm.
in an open pull.
Mm-hmm.
And this will go on, you ask for a normal morning, by the time they go through, we'll have 20 to 25 entries
mm-hmm.
in the two weight classes. This past year in the Saturday pull, which is local, we had 27 or 28 entries.
Mm-hmm.
And in the open class, which is on Monday morning, we had 22 or 23 entries. And we had a super good pull on both days.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one on Monday was probably one of the finest mm-hmm. I've ever seen. They had a team from out western, mid-central Ohio,
mm-hmm.
weighed close to 4,800 pounds, and they were probably as well a trained pulling team as you would want to see. Just beautiful. They were matched in color.
Mm-hmm.
And just massive and far exceeded anybody that
yeah.
we had so easily won the
mm-hmm.
contest.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting, and it was a nice, clean contest.
Mm-hmm.
When I say clean, when I say clean, any competitive animal, and this is act or show, can be subject to drugs.
Oh,
racehorses,
uh-huh.
any kind, this is a possibility.
Yeah.
And we have enjoyed an exceptional good record. But
we've
never
run up against anything.
We do. They know when they come into Canfield that anyone could be subject to a test by a state
mm-hmm.
veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
We at random, not necessarily the winner,
mm-hmm.
But we at random, when they make their entries, pull several numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, before the contest is concluded, they have to submit to a blood sample.
Mm-hmm.
They have a veterinarian on the ground, and this is prearranged,
mm-hmm.
and these tests are made. And we withhold premiums until these tests come back that they are clean. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to say that we've enjoyed a good record. They know that we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so we have a fine relationship, enjoyed a fine relationship with these horse pullers mm-hmm. over the several years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have already made up our rules for 1983. The people that were participants in 82 and 81 will be sent our new rules as soon as the premium list comes from the printer, and invited to come back for this year's mm-hmm. poll. Some of them let us know ahead, but mm-hmm. this is not necessary. They can enter the day of the contest.
Mm-hmm. They usually get a lot of the people are repeat.
Yes. Right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And as our premium list goes out, there are some others on that mm-hmm. particular day.
Mm-hmm. Your premiums aren't just a ribbon you pay.
No, these are pretty. These are, I would say, reasonably attractive premiums.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, this past year in the pony contest, we paid six places,
mm-hmm.
and ribbons go with these, but the money is mm-hmm. also in there.
Mm-hmm.
First place paid $55, and sixth place paid $14.50.
Mm-hmm.
In the horse contest, that's a local horse contest,
mm-hmm.
again, there's two classes, a light class, lightweights and heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
The first place paid $85 and sixth place paid $27.50.
Mm-hmm. By heavyweight, do you mean draft horses?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they weigh, even the ponies, they have a weight grade.
Mm-hmm.
The ponies break at 1,300 pounds. Anything 1,300 or less is in the lightweight
mm-hmm.
pony draft
mm-hmm.
horse. Or draft pony class,
mm-hmm.
over 1,300 is in the heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the horses, these are draft horses,
mm-hmm.
The light class is 3,200 pounds or less. Well, the heavies would be 3,201 or more.
Oh my.
And the same weight class is good for the Monday pole, which is mm-hmm. we call our open
mm-hmm.
draft horse contest.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by open?
Well, this is open to anybody. See, the one on Saturday is local.
Uh-huh.
That's for people from Mahoning County.
Oh, right.
Or adjoining counties, mm-hmm. which would be Columbiana, Stark, Portage, Trumbull,
mm-hmm. so
Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Okay. They're adjoining counties.
Mm-hmm.
Or members of the Northeast
mm-hmm.
Ohio Pullers Association.
Right.
And that also covers pretty much the same counties,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a little farther away, but that is, we call that our local contest.
Mm-hmm.
Then Monday they can come, the same people can, that were there on Saturday can come back
mm-hmm.
on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no limit for where they're from on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We've
mm-hmm.
had teams from West Virginia and far out in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania. Several teams from Pennsylvania, of course, as well as local.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on Monday's contest last year, the heavy class, first prize paid $175. And for the light, the first prize paid $115, down to $40 and
$32.50.
So, there are trophies for the first place. Canfield Fair Trophy for first place in
mm-hmm.
each of these classes.
Mm-hmm.
So that it is a paying thing, if you,
mm-hmm.
particularly if you get first place,
yeah.
which is
yeah.
true, I guess, of any contest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, day in the steam engine, thrashing and antique engine show, that becomes kind of routine because most of that work has already been done by Fairtime. Mm-hmm. The arrangements, for instance, we already have our wheat planted. We planted the wheat on the experimental farm last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made the contract with the people putting on the antique engines, bringing in the thrashing machines, sawmill, shingle machine, the old steam engines, and have that already worked out. We'll be meeting with some of the small engine, the small antique engine people here in the near future. So they will be contacted by card or letter in the near future and signify whether the dates this year fit their schedule and mm-hmm. if they will be coming back and what they have and their estimate of space needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that by the time fair rolls around, it's just a matter of putting them in their spot and then they conduct the show.
Mm-hmm.
We merely become supervisors,
mm-hmm.
kind of see that everything runs smoothly. If we do our groundwork early, well, then the show runs better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mill Creek Park has already assured me that they have sufficient logs to keep uh-huh. the sawmill busy.
Who takes them out? Do they take them
out? They take them out, yes, mm-hmm. with their truck.
Mm-hmm.
They bring them to the fairgrounds.
How many trees do they go through?
We'll have about, to keep the saw busy, we'll have close to 40 logs, 8 to 10 foot long,
mm-hmm.
and oh, anywhere from 24 to 44, 48 inches in
mm-hmm.
diameter. Oh, it's a real lumber pile. They like to, the sawyer likes to cut, like the threshing machine, he doesn't saw logs continually. They have, when they get a crowd there, they start them and then move around from the shingle machine,
mm-hmm.
the sawmill, the hay baler, or straw baler really,
mm-hmm.
the sawmill, and they have a old shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And this will take an hour and a half to 2 hours
mm-hmm.
To spend a operating time with each of these machines. So that in the course of a day, he may square up some logs, get the base cuts made.
Mm-hmm.
But in the course of a day, he'll saw 8 to 10 logs. And so 5 days, we need about 40 logs
mm-hmm.
just to keep him busy.
Mm-hmm. What do you do with the wooden shingles? They're wooden, right?
Wooden shingles?
Yeah. People buy them?
98% of those are handed out as souvenirs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
as he's making them,
mm-hmm.
he just hands them out.
Uh-huh.
Youngsters and oldsters and
uh-huh.
middlesters, everybody likes to take a wooden shingle.
Uh-huh.
There's very few of them left.
Oh. I think I'll just stop this tape here and turn it over. There. Okay. Do you want to tell me anything more about your typical day up there? Most everything prepared before the fair, right?
We try to,
yeah.
Yes. I think traditionally or historically, this fair board and this goes back to my association with it in 1946
mm-hmm.
when I came here,
mm-hmm.
impressed me with the fact that when the last day of the fair is over, they don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
They start already
mm-hmm.
thinking of what they're going to do next year. And in fact, each of us are invited to mark down either during the fair or immediately after or at a meeting soon after to put on paper things that we want to change or
mm-hmm.
things that we see would help. And I believe this has been the strength of Canfield Fair's
mm-hmm.
livelihood. The reason they have become one of the better fairs any place that you might want to go to a
mm-hmm.
county fair. We have some real dedicated workers. We've been fortunate in our personnel in this respect that Grace Williams, who will probably give you a wealth of information, has been associated with fairs for many years. Our former ground superintendent, a full-time employee, Homer Miller, was one of the most dedicated fair grounds maintenance people that you'd ever want to find.
Is he retired now?
Yes, Homer retired 3 years ago. Fortunately, we were able to get a young man that worked with Homer, and Homer taught him very well, and Paul Morocco, our present ground superintendent, has picked up maybe not all of the pieces, because everybody learns as you grow, but Paul has done a real good job of picking up and maintaining the standard of excellence that Homer was accustomed to. His right-hand man, Duke Snavely, is a real good worker, and we're fortunate in having people of this caliber to take care of the ground. They take pride in it. And so that our grounds are maintained, our buildings are maintained and watched the year round. But coming back to, in addition to a typical day, these things are put down no later than the end of September of what we'd like to do for the improvement, what we need in a department, or what the whole fairground needs. If time and whatever permits, quite often we'll take a tour of the grounds while the fair is on. Start out, we'll meet for early breakfast and just take a ride around on a hay wagon or something of this sort, and jot down things. As you go through various parts of the fair, the person in charge of that area or building or event will say, well, here's what we're doing, and here's what we'd like to do, here's what we need. And I think this has prospered the fair in that it's a going thing. We meet at least once a month, and by committees maybe more often, the year round. In other words, it's not come August we get ready for the fair. It's come the end of September we're getting ready for 1984.
Very professional.
Well, we've had a good working group, a fine bunch of people on the fair board from many different avenues. There's enough legitimate farmers on there that they have maintained a strong agricultural favor. But we have some people that are knowledgeable with the fun end of the thing, the games and the rides, and they've kept these departments and these activities within bounds. Some say we could have some improvement there, but this generates a lot of income for the fair.
What kind of improvement?
Well, more agricultural or more craft or more livestock. But we've tried to keep a reasonable balance between the so-called game and concession area. And as I say, they contribute a lot of money to the fair, and this affords us then to do the things in the way of improvements, new buildings, and like the Pioneer Village, when it was started, this is a non-revenue sort, but it is expensive to move these buildings in and to reconstruct them or remodel them to get craftsmen and equipment and so on.
Do they ever open that up during the year?
That's open all the time.
There's somebody there?
Well, by arrangement, yes. The tours, oh yes. The Pioneer, now called Western Reserve Village, as you probably have noted, that is available. Individual directors, if they have a particular group, can take them through, or arrangements can be made. Yes. A lot of school groups, a lot of...
It's a marvelous place. It'd be a shame if it was only open during the fair.
There's so many beautiful things there, and they are authentic.
Mm-hmm.
They're not they're not reproductions.
Mm-hmm.
A number of so-called historical villages are reproductions,
yeah.
and not the authentic. In the buildings and equipment and displays in there are authentic, and they've been restored to as near their original frame or design as humanly possible.
When did they first start that, do you know?
Offhand, I can't. that number, it was started with the law office,
mm-hmm.
the Elisha Whittlesey Law Office, and it was going to be discarded in Canfield because of growth and modernization, and the, I'm going to say, the Women's Club of Canfield were meeting there, and they gave it to the Fair Board
mm-hmm.
as a place, so that was the first move,
mm-hmm.
And we put it down there primarily as a storage thing,
mm-hmm.
but there were other things became available, the railroad station, the schoolhouse, the store, and the library, the log cabin.
Where was that library from?
North Lima.
Oh.
That was a branch library. It was down in North Lima.
Mm-hmm.
And the store was from North Jackson.
Hmm.
The schoolhouse was from out on Leffingwell Road. That
mm-hmm.
was called Knoffville.
Mm-hmm.
K-N-A-U-F. V-I-L-L-E, a little village out in there. Oh, there's not a village, a community. There's an off road out in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that come from what is presently Leffingwell Country Club, Leffingwell Hills Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting in their way,
mm-hmm.
so we moved it in. The store, I said, come from North Jackson. The doctor's office was Dr. Patton's office from out of North Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That's an original, an authentic thing. That's been there since 1973 because I was president when they dedicated
mm-hmm.
that. So that's been, so the other parts of the other must have been there 20 or more years, some of them.
Hmm.
So that, and of course the entryway was part of a bridge structure that they made into the entryway.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
is that original?
Well, the lumber's original,
yeah.
but they just crafted it
uh-huh.
in the design for an entryway.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Of course, the carriage museum was a constructed building. That wasn't
uh-huh.
that's just a constructed
uh-huh.
building. But of course, all
uh-huh.
the carriages are authentic,
uh-huh.
valuable. But anyhow, that's how things keep growing,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
our programs, well, in January, early in January each year, they have an exhibitors meeting, an advertised public meeting at which anybody, particular exhibitors or participants, can come in and by group or by individual, lodge their criticisms or suggestions for the improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's to go over the premium list and make any suggestions or changes in rules, regulations, classes, or classifications for the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
And after the board by department considers these changes, then the new premium list for the year is submitted to the printer, usually in March, and hopefully we'll get that back for proofing in end of April
mm-hmm.
or early May, and then that's mailed to previous exhibitors,
mm-hmm.
hopefully by the fore part of June.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you when people filled out their entries.
Yeah, well, the books go out, hopefully, as I say, in early June. And the classes that require early entry think, along about the 10th or 15th of August, they have to be in. These are mostly livestock classes, so that they can range or they, by building space, are limited to how many they can take.
Mm-hmm.
And if the building is full this year and all the people that exhibited this year want to come back next year, then they have priority or seniority or whatever.
You probably get the same people coming.
Pretty much, yeah.
I've always remembered those black and white cows there on that one, in that one barn.
Yeah. they, I guess, like anybody else, exhibitors are creatures of habit, and they have an affinity or a love or an identification with an area, and they like to be in the same place. People that come and visit them go to the same place and want to see them and something like that. Yeah. This is true all over the fairground, that the concession people, the, well,
the... Usually at the same place.
The barbecue chicken places are pretty much the same place.
Do they get first dibs at
Yes. If you've been there in 82, you'll have first right of refusal for an area in 83, unless you've broken some rules or been... guilty of some. Well, we try to be. Yeah, we try to be fair, but there are certain limitations in the conduct of whatever in all departments.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you don't have rules, if you don't hang into them, then you get a breakdown of the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is a little late, but. To be included, but another interesting part of the fair, and I've been privileged to be a part of it, and that's the township exhibit. Work-wise and so on like that, I don't have a whole lot to do with that, but when we had the 125th celebration, which would have been 1971, we worked with the townships to stimulate something a little different, and that's when they started and originated the township flags. And each township was invited to participate in that 125th fair, and if they came up with a design, the fair board had two flags made, one for the township, one for our own display, which is done on the concourse. The flags are displayed around that big light pole in the center of the concourse, and then the Township Trustees and Clerks Association have had an exhibit ever since that 125th fair. So that this past fair, 136, they've been there 11 years. And we provide the tent and lighting for and the space for the Township Trustees free to them. And because of my association with the Trustees Association as a representative from Carbon, I've been privileged to meet and work with them for whatever their needs and wants may be over the years. And I think it's been a good addition to have the trustees there. They put up a nice exhibit. They visit with a lot of people and show what trustees are about. And I know they get questioned because some of them say, you know, we see more, maybe we see more of our constituents here at the fair than we do at home. At least they come up and make themselves known and see what we're doing. So that's another, that's not one of the big, because the trustees have their own committee and set that up, but I have been privileged to meet with them and help them over the years in that regard. And I think the township flag thing is a little unique. I've, I've never seen it in any other fair we've attended.
I wanted to ask you, you know, it's a big change in fairs going especially the kids. Notice through the years a big change.
Well, I think fairs and kids kind of go together.
Yeah.
For years, I think our biggest day was Youth Day,
mm-hmm.
when they made special invitations to the children to come. The right people gave them more spins for their money or whatever, or reduced rates. The biggest change in terms of change, I would have to say, is how much better job the children do in all respects.
Oh, you think so?
Well, I really do. Because I think their livestock comes to the fair better prepared, better conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
By and large, I think their handicraft, I'm going to put handicraft in a generalization of dresses, cooking,
mm-hmm.
Craft work, woodworking, things like this, metal work, whatever. I think the fair exhibits mm-hmm. look better. They have better quality.
I always admire the kids that grew the steers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grazed, fed the steers, yeah.
That's a real job. I never could understand how they could let them go.
Well, it's not easy. It's not easy. In fact, a good friend of ours, I think their son, had his first steer this past year. And the last night of the fair, he stayed with the steer all night because he knew the next day he was off to other lands. And he said,
"You never had any kids that reneged on the deal and
can't
take them."
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And this hasn't changed, because I'll never forget, there's a youngster. We had a our first advisor was a great pig man. He had a lot of good pigs, and so mm-hmm. Market Pig was the first year project for, and we had a pig club, Market Pig Club,
mm-hmm.
and this first year fellow had a nice Market Pig gone to the fair. We didn't have a sale to sell it like we do here at
mm-hmm.
Canfield,
mm-hmm.
but as most Market Pigs, only has one destiny. And this fellow's dad trucked livestock to Cleveland for the community. That was one of his extra duties. He trucked
mm-hmm.
cattle and pigs and poultry, whatever, to Cleveland, to the stockyards. And he made the mistake, the mistake of taking this fellow to the stockyards on one of his trips and showed him the whole procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a pig get to be the biggest, most useless thing around the farm you'd ever want to see, because he was in no way going to have his pig go through what he saw up at Cleveland. And I've seen it, but, a lot of them look at it more realistically now, I guess. Perhaps over the years they've been conditioned
mm-hmm.
by a friend or a brother or a sister that this has been a device by which they can go to college or they can get some purebred stock
mm-hmm.
of their first choice, maybe a
mm-hmm.
Beef animal or a dairy animal or sheep or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rationalize out the ultimate, the natural way of things. But in spite of that, there are some steers and some whalings. I suspect, even though they may not show it, many of them have
mm-hmm.
considerable second thoughts that last day of the fair, or even at the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sale night is amazing. Relinquish the title to that animal, even though it doesn't take place until Tuesday after the fair.
Mm-hmm.
the wheels are already moving mm-hmm. because there has been a buyer
mm-hmm.
For the market.
They know they get top price.
Oh, they get a good price.
It's really good eating. My husband bought one, and oh, my. Really
yeah,
good.
that's right. Well, see, the steer club was started while I was still in the
mm-hmm.
extension program.
Mm-hmm.
And first year or two, it was a little uphill because, it's a new venture and a new thing. But it was surprising how many grocers, meat markets, after they witnessed and had their customers
mm-hmm.
testify
mm-hmm.
as to the quality and the flavor and the tenderness of this kind of beef, that it became much
mm-hmm.
easier then to market.
I think they've learned how it's good advertising. If you buy a steer from the fair,
yeah.
good advertising.
Right. Right.
Those steers have been babied. Fed nothing but the finest. yeah.
I laughed. The fellow I worked for at Carbon, we had bought steers there. And if the timing wasn't right, we bought them elsewhere. And he said something about buying beef. And I said, well, you know, you just don't go up and down the road and stop in and buy a beef.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's some people that do a better job of
mm-hmm.
feeding beef,
mm-hmm.
as there are some people that do a better job of raising eggs,
mm-hmm.
poultry,
mm-hmm.
milk, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he just shook his head. He said, in other words, if he doesn't get up to the kitchen table, you don't want to eat with him either. But, there is a knack and a skill involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good training,
mm-hmm.
business-wise, and
yeah.
meeting people, competition.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you try a six-day fair?
That was the 125th.
It was just a special.
Special event.
Mm-hmm.
They were all agreed they didn't want to go 10 days like they did in 1946,
yeah.
even though
uh-huh.
not too many of them were on the board at that time. But our time of the year lends itself ideally to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Our six-day fair, even with all the extras that we did and tried to do for the celebration of the 125th year, it just wasn't a normal trend of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that it would be, in spite of our paid workers that we have around the ground, there's still a lot of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your junior fair activities, I say most because I don't know about all of them, but I'd say the majority of your junior fair activities are volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And your school work, of course, that's you have teachers that do and see that this is exhibited.
Mm-hmm.
But you're strictly your junior fair, the large portion of that is volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is encroaching another day on a lot of volunteers, and it becomes a matter of scheduling and so on like
mm-hmm.
that.
Do you ever take a tally of how many volunteers and workers you have? See,
no, we haven't, but it would be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the part-time paid employees like ticket takers and
mm-hmm.
ushers and cleanup crew and
mm-hmm.
so forth like that, this gets up to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And around the barns, of course, you see a lot of our own maintenance crew that we have as maintenance during the year and mowing and painting and repair work and
mm-hmm.
so on like that. A lot of them are college students or older, high school. Because, see, they have to work for us, they have to be 18 or more.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are college students. And so at the conclusion of the fair, they're if not already back in school, will be going back to school. Yeah. And so they act, they're acquainted with the machinery and the equipment and where we handle the refuse mm-hmm. and so on. There would be a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the medical exhibit. I doubt if there are some paid people down there, some of the societies, but there's a lot of volunteers in that.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest volunteer program and the most vital is the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
First aid tent there.
Yeah.
And just a great crew.
They volunteer. Volunteer.
Yeah, there's some expenses involved with it, but I know Dr. Schreiber has been their kind of their chief, we want to say chief medical advisor. Mm-hmm. He's been very active, and Joe Pitts and his wife. Of course, we lost Mrs. Pitts, died this last fall. I'm not sure of the date, but the Pitts from down here in New Middletown have been real strong in that first aid building.
Mm-hmm. A lot of trouble with bees out there. Huh?
Some years and some years not so much. They said last year
they
weren't so many.
For them? They spray for them.
No, they migrate. We spray spot spray. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We use up several cartons of wasp and bee spray during the fair. But you see that.
They're the kind of bees that get in the ground, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also like sweet things like
cotton candy.
Cotton candy and garbage pails where they dump ice cream and pop. Containers, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if your weather is modest and mild, your bees are modest. If you get bad weather, then they get angry too. Yeah. They're a lot like people.
Uh-huh. The weather's a big thing at the fair, right?
Right.
Rain.
Or lack of it.
Yeah. Oh, lack of it too? Well, you didn't get water supplies in.
Well, it's not nice and green and pretty if it's dried out and burnt, and we do have a beautiful grounds. Mm-hmm.
It always seems as though it rains a couple days. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a biggie this last first day of the fair.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it had rained from before that, and then it rained during the fair. Yeah, well, that's just part of the fair, though.
Right.
You just put on your trash bags and go to the fair. Do they have any problems with your neighbors around the fair? Do they complain?
Probably not. We've had some, water problems, drainage problems.
Yeah.
I think maybe in the one case, the fairground was wrongly accused of drainage that may have came from further up the water supply.
Mm-hmm.
By and large, we've enjoyed a real good relationship with the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. You don't have races out there anymore. Car races.
Stock car races, no.
Is the fairground used for other things during the year?
Oh, yes. A lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you look at the calendar, and Grace Williams will fill you in on this, I know there's a antique show and sale coming up 1st of May. There's some flea markets coming up later in May. During the winter, a lot of boats and campers and that sort of thing are winter stored in the buildings out there. We have harness horses trained year-round. They're stored or they're housed in the buildings there, and then they have access to the track, and they have some practice meets and some shows and stuff like that during the course of the year, as well as daily training, and then they will participate in tracks that they can trailer.
Mm-hmm.
They will leave here by trailer and go to Cleveland or go down toward Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And race, harness racing. There's no no thoroughbred racing there.
Mm-hmm.
They have
dog shows.
Dog shows, the big dog show's been there. They have cat shows.
Horse show, I'm not big.
And then
show,
the Youngstown Charity Horse Show has been there for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of weekend horse shows, primarily junior horse shows, using the pony rings as well as the junior fair ring, rabbit and chicken shows. Dog training, obedience, there's a couple different groups that have dog obedience training out there.
They used to have polo things out there.
Yeah.
They moved them?
They moved them, see when they put the new dairy complex in 3 years ago, or started it 3 years ago, they moved that into that area where the polo field was. And according to the best report we had, polo was kind of in a down cycle, and so they hadn't been getting the crowds. And last I heard, the local polo group had joined with Darlington, and of course the Polo Association down in Darlington, Pennsylvania, have had their own property for years down there in a nice location. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because there were several folks from Poland that worked closely.
Kurt Crum and
John Zediker and Kurt Crum and Jake Bowmaster.
Yeah.
Strauss wasn't from Poland, but he was Stan Strauss. There was another fellow I met the other day who was...
Zediker.
Well, John Zediker, but...
McDowell,
that was a fellow, yeah. In, of course, going way back a few beyond that was Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
And he used to have the pole out here east of town, or west of town.
Where the ball field is.
Yeah. And, that was, I think, polo. Probably was originated or nurtured right here in the Poland area, and then became Mahoning Valley or whatever, a polo club, and moved to the fair, or to the fair grounds. There's some other activities. Some are for money and some are for contribution. Canfield has used the fairgrounds for a 4th of July celebration. They've made quite a day of that. They have parades and so on like that, and a program, and then they climax it with a show and fireworks display in front of the grandstand. I mentioned the variety of antique shows and flea markets and so on like that. When you're talking with Grace, have her bring out the her calendar of events, and it's almost astounding how many different places and different people do use the fairground.
I think most people think, well, there's the fair for 5 days, and then that's it. You know, nothing else goes on. I think that place is just sitting there empty.
Had a chance to collect some thoughts. They have a lot of livestock sales there. In fact, I think there's the Pony Association is having a sale. I think they have two a year. And I think there's one coming up in the very near future where they sell ponies and riding horses and that sort of thing. And they've had cattle sales, purebred cattle. Young stock, or be a consignment sale from the Guernsey, the Holstein, Jersey Association, and bring it in of that sort. So,
That's about all I have here. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I think I've kind of run off. I don't know whether
No.
whether it make any sense or rhyme or reason to this. Personally, I would feel that it's probably I've gained more and met more and learned more by being a part of this, mm-hmm. and you could measure. It's been enjoyable. Mm-hmm. The fairs do have an association, state and national, and we've been privileged to participate in these. State Association meeting is an annual thing. National Association is an annual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go and compare what you do and see what somebody else is doing, you can always learn something.
Yeah.
You never know where a good idea will pop up, mm-hmm. because different areas and different people. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I would also add in here, that some of the earlier fair board directors out here are smart in that they have a gentleman's agreement that no one person will serve as president more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
has that always been true?
This has been true so far as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how far ahead of that time it was accepted. But I have seen and have heard that, you know, if you keep changing things, you always have some new ideas,
mm-hmm.
coming in.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily change the departments. In other words, persons in charge of cattle,
mm-hmm.
Stays with that. There are changes made as time and need arise, but the leadership and this is kind of an automatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, it isn't in the bylaws or the Constitution, mm-hmm. but so far as I can remember, this has been true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's healthy.
Good.
I think,
mm-hmm.
it's a good sign.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
My privilege.
Okay.